Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTillo along with Cullen Steele in studio, coordinating and supervising at 520. We'll have on with us from BetMGM tonight, Brad Evans. He'll give us his take on this weekend's game in college and pro football. And at 545, Jeff Nowak will join us, and he'll give his thoughts on our triple option feature. 725 tonight, Greg Ullman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports and a couple of undefeated teams there in the Saints and Tampa Bay, will join us to talk about this weekend's schedule and what happened the first 2 weeks of the season. One of the things you just heard Dennis Allen talk about, still unknown about Taysom Hill. It doesn't seem to be something that's real serious. If he comes back and play this weekend, remains to be seen. But the Eagles will also have a major piece out, and that's A.J. Brown. A.J. actually kind of tipped off Lisa Salters from ESPN that he would be out a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. He did not participate in practice today. So I think he kind of let the cat out the bag a little early with Lisa Salters with it. But when you have a hamstring injury, And he's dealt with it before, so he knows a lot more about it than anybody else and how his body reacts to it. He said he'd probably be out a couple weeks. Doesn't look like the Saints will go up against A.J. Brown. Cullen, we will go to our text line, and I think it's 5438. Asked about Nick Saldiveri. We were talking about Lucas Patrick at the left guard position, and where the Saints run the football seemingly now much more toward the left than toward the right. Saldiveri, I think he was the guy. They wanted him to be the starter. But this is two straight training camps. He's missed the entire time. He's not on the injury report. He's been back healthy for a week and a half or so. But at this point, man, when you got things working up front, I'm not making no change unless there's an injury to Lucas Patrick. So I get the question about Saldiveri. He is not on the injury list. He has been full practice for, I would say, the last week and a half, maybe even a little bit longer. But with Lucas Patrick playing the way he is, I'm not making that change at that left guard position. But right off the bat, Saldiveri, he was working with the ones. They wanted him to be that guy. Two straight years, though, he's not able to answer the bell, so to speak. And you miss all that practice time. You're not, you know, you don't have any skins on the wall as a pro player. You're not going to get that starting position. So Lucas Patrick is the starting left guard. Saldiveri is full at the practice sessions. We got another guy because we were talking about David Tepper and his temperament. And they said in 2 years, Carolina will take Lil Arch. My thing about it is I might have to do like John Elway and Eli Manning and say, man, I don't want to go to Carolina. Not unless David Tepper, the one thing you can do a lot of things with a team, can't make an owner sell. Can't make him sell unless you do something. Now, he's worth over $20 billion, and, you know, he don't know anything about patience. But unless you got some issues off the field, so to speak, you can't make him sell. And this is his baby. He's running this franchise like he's run his businesses, and he finds out sports is a lot different than other businesses he's been involved with. Man, if I'm Lil Arch, I might have to do like Elway and Eli and say, hey, you know what? Trade me somewhere else. I'm not going there. That has really become bad. And I could almost hear it when we had Jake Delhomme on about 2 weeks ago in his voice about he didn't have any optimism that this team would win. And when I told him, Jake, will they exceed last year's win mark? And he was like, not by much. He said, I see 5 to 6 wins people are picking. There's no way. There's no way this is happening. And so he could kind of see it that, again, this team will end up with the first overall pick in the draft again. And so, man, it's just hard times in Carolina if you're a Panthers fan with David Tepper taking over. And you thought, man, because of his experience, he was a part owner of the Steelers, that he had learned from there. He ain't learned nothing. He's in charge. And, man, you hear all kind of stories, but Again, Dan Morgan, God bless him. He's got to work under him. And Dave Canales, young coach, I think he knows he can kind of control things behind the scenes. We'll take a break and we come back. We'll have on with us BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL insider Brad Evans talking about this weekend's games, college and pro football, right after this break. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTillo along with Cullen Steele in studio. Before we go to Brad, let me answer this. We had a texter ask about, did Sean Payton sign Pete Carmichael to his staff? Yeah, sure. He's a senior offensive assistant with the Broncos now, and he's sort of the go-between guy, similar to a position he was here with the Saints, where, I mean, you had two strong personalities with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and Pete Carmichael became the middleman to sort of sort everything out between it. So he's the middle guy and sort of calming everything down between the rookie quarterback and Bo Nix and Sean Payton. So, yes, Pete Carmichael is on the Broncos staff. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And on the line is host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL insider Brad Evans. BetQL insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hola, amigo. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. But, Brad, right off the bat, I'll ask you about Saints-Philly. That at one time, a week ago, Philly was a favorite in that game. Man, they didn't flip the script real quick. What happened, certainly, with the Eagles and what's happened here in New Orleans. And the second part of that is, how shocked are you with the success of this offense of the Saints? We all knew that defense special teams would be good. I don't think anybody envisioned how good this offense would be this season in the two games they played.
Yeah, it's been rather shocking. I'm floored at how well they have performed so far in the early season. And, you know, I think the Saints are going to keep on humming. You know, we all thought they go out there and throttle the Hello Kitties of Charlotte, also known as the Carolina Panthers, in week number one. Of course, they took care of business. I thought, okay, maybe it was smoke and mirrors. Maybe it's a bit of an anomalous performance offensively, given the meek opponent. And then they turn around and they throttle the Dallas Cowboys, a legitimate, viable defense, a true blue contender there in the NFC, at least so we thought. And they're like, okay, we got to reassess. This team is for real. Alvin Kamara, I think, is still scoring fantasy points for his managers that are out there. Rashid Shaheed has been incredible, a guy that's really expanded the route tree, getting it done, of course, down the field. He's averaging over 24 yards per catch, which is top five in the NFL. But a guy that's also getting it done in underneath coverage in the short field, the intermediate field, and really tearing up defenses. Taysom Hill's coming in, getting some quality touches there on the ground. You know, Derek Carr has just been really spreading the love, been very aggressive and assertive and efficient offensively in every facet. And it's only 2 weeks in. It's, you know, a small sample size. But when you look at the EPA data that's out there, they're number one in EPA offense, number two in EPA defense. That, my friend, is a formula for success.
I'll switch you to Saturday game now. Tennessee playing Oklahoma. I know one thing, man, the coach for Tennessee, he want to beat Oklahoma so bad. Kind of how it ended there, he was a guy that was a terrific quarterback there, and they went through all the just the nuances of exactly how he got to Oklahoma. And kind of, I think the feeling for him is, they made me a scapegoat. They cut me loose, and now he's at Tennessee. That Tennessee team is really good on the offensive side, the football, Brad. But surprisingly, they have played well on defense. They have a whole new secondary. I think that was the question mark for Tennessee coming into this season, how well they play on the back end. They have really played well there. Volunteers, Sooners, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to be an outstanding football game. And, you know, really Oklahoma, their calling card this year is not offense. It has certainly been on the defensive side. They're a team right now, number 24 in the nation, EPA per play defense. So They're getting it done, you know, shutting opponents down, limiting some three and outs. But, you know, Tennessee's a different animal, man. They're just firing all cylinders right now. I look at the books, the line pretty much static across the industry right now. BetMGM, Tennessee's a 7.5-point favorite on the road there against Boomer Sooner, and I think they're going to cover. I mean, they're bar none the best team, pound for pound, in all of college football, and they, you know, the data really backs it up. EPA per play offense, number two in the nation. EPA per play defense, number one in the nation. Similar to New Orleans Saints, just a team that is right now firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, I think the Vols, Smokey, is going to be rolling, and I think they're going to win maybe by 10 to 14 points is what I'm feeling there on the road against Oklahoma.
I think a lot of eyes will be on this game. USC, Michigan. Man, Michigan, they got the field wiped out with them. And USC, surprisingly, against LSU, they played better on the defensive side than I thought they would.
Yep.
To be honest with you, I knew they could score. Lincoln Riley's always had high-powered offenses, and Moss has done a great job at the quarterback position. Such a poised quarterback for a guy who was only – we saw him play. I mean, he had only had one game under his belt, and that was a bowl game. But he looked super down the stretch for the Trojans. Your thought, I think the line's around 6, USC, Michigan.
Yeah, what version of Michigan are we going to get? You know, is this a team that we saw get run rush out over earlier this season? You know, they're at home. It's the big house. 100,000 enthusiastic fans are going to be packed in there. So, the home element is going to play a factor in some way, shape, or form. It may seem like way too many points, but I'm kind of laying the chalk here with the Trojans for the reason you stated. I mean, the fact they really showed up and showed out defensively against LSU and that high-powered offense. And right now a team, again, they have been tested and they have been passing with flying colors, not only outstanding offensively, number 7 in the nation EPA per play offense, but they're number 10 in EPA per play defense. So they have that balance. You can't say the same for Michigan. Offensively, they've looked inept at times. Defensively, not as strong as we've seen in years of recent past. Number 35 EPA per play defense nationally. Number 43 EPA per play offense nationally. Again, the home crowd will play a factor, kind of, you know, sways me a little bit. Maybe the side of Michigan plus 6, but I think USC will take care of business, win this by a touchdown, and the all-important extra point by 7. They get the cover there on the road in Ann Arbor.
Cullen? Hey, Brad, Cullen here. We had another text on the text line come in asking, what would a $100 bet pay if the Saints win the Super Bowl at the present odds? I'm looking at Vegas Insider.
Who's I think got, there's you know, somebody that got a hot $100 bill in,
hey,
his,
I'm not gonna,
in
hope,
his wallet
hope is
that
the word
he wants
of the day
to put on the Saints.
I'm looking at Vegas Insider, and I'm seeing that the odds are ranging from, you know, anything from like 3,000 to 3,500. You know, what are you seeing over at BetMGM?
Yeah, right now at BetMGM, I'm pulling up the fresh numbers. So this is up to date. I'll even give you some of the other odds that are out there. To win the NFC South, they're plus money at plus 160. And I think that's worth firing a ticket off on right now. They should be able to take that division. We'll see what version of ATL shows up this week. Miraculous comeback against the Philadelphia Eagles, again, which I believe New Orleans is going to pick apart over the weekend. I would lay the chalk there in the 2.5. And take the over on 49.5 in that game. It should be bombs away for New Orleans yet again. For them to win the Super Bowl, a team that is sitting right now at plus 3,000, so 30-1 odds there at BetMGM, best odds in the industry. So if you want to fire off a ticket, I think at a minimum it's worth a sprinkle, and I'm sure that's going to be a slightly popular play down in your neck of the woods.
I think that's
some of the BetMGM affiliates. So
right,
yeah,
that's
New
just
Orleans,
a dude who got $100 he want to put down. Hey, just to have that ticket that say, "Hey, I got $100 on the Saints. Let me show you the ticket so he can show all his friends about it."
Yeah, brag away, man. And if it hits, I mean, you're going to put some fat cash into your pocket. That's going to buy a lot of beverages down there
on
Bourbon Street. And I'm a fan of Sazerac's, baby. So, yeah, belly at the bar with a fancy drink and drink with your pinky out if that is the case.
So you said, what were the Saints odds to win the division again? Is it 160, 165?
Yeah, plus 160, which I think it is enormous value right now.
Where are the rest? Obviously not counting the Panthers, I hate to say, but where do the Bucks and the Falcons?
You don't want to throw your money away.
Where do the Bucks and the Falcons lie, though?
Yeah, the Bucks a little bit longer odds there, and I'm going to go ahead and pull this up, and let me see what Atlanta is sitting at in that same market. Again, and it's been adjusted here based on recency bias, but Atlanta to take the AFC South, they're sitting right now at plus 225. Tampa is at plus 200. So pretty tightly compacted. I mean, it's going to be a hotly contested division. There's no question about it. And we're going to see if, you know, New Orleans is going to be flying those true colors. And they're going to, you know, go on. I live by the rule of three. I need to see three games to really take away hard takeaways, concrete takeaways to a season's beginning for a certain franchise. So if they go out there and they take care of business against the Philadelphia Eagles and ground that team. And again, they should be able to, because that is a very leaky, very susceptible defense. I would still fire off immediately a plus 160. But if you want that value, you better get that now, because if they do go out there and wax that you-know-what against Philadelphia, I think those odds are going to come tumbling down, probably going to be like plus 120, plus 110 for them to win the division come Monday morning.
Brad, a friend of mine who works in Vegas, and he told me, man, there's a lot of money flowing on this game. The Detroit Lions, who are 1-1, going up against the Cardinals, but it's how the Cardinals won last week that's got everybody's attention. Man, Kyler Murray, he was terrific in that game, and everybody asked about over 20 years in covering the Manning camp. Who threw the prettiest football? Kyler Murray. I told that to Colin Cowherd years ago. I think he uses it today. He threw the prettiest football that you could imagine. I mean, it was what you would draw it up to be. He's having a really good season. Your thoughts, Lions, Cardinals? Because I'll be honest, the Saints win against the Cowboys, shockingly, how it turned out. Not that they would have maybe win, but how it turned out. The biggest shock to me, Tampa goes to Detroit with a beat-up football team, and they lay it to Detroit and come out of there with a win.
Yeah, look, I think it's a bit of a trap game for Detroit there on the road against those Desert Birds, who we all thought would be kind of dungeon dwellers, really, yeah, for much of the season. But, look, Kyler Murray came out, and he's like, I don't have to force-feed Marvin Harrison Jr. the football at all. Then straight away, like, first bomb of the game, into the hands of Marvin Harrison Jr. for six. Then it happened again, and it happened another time. I mean, it's just repeatedly wasting away to that secondary that we saw last week off the hand of Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr. But, you know, they're more than Harrison Jr. with Trey McBride there, Greg Dortch doing the dirty work underneath. You know, Michael Wilson's made some key catches as well. And James Conner has had a bit of a revitalization, a renaissance of sorts, a guy that's looked great. Run the football, catching the football, the backfield defense is overachieving right now. I like Detroit, though, in a bounce-back spot coming off their loss. I think Jared Goff is going to move in the right direction. And watch out for Sam Laporta. He's been ultra-quiet these first 2 weeks of the regular season. This seems like a breakout performance against an Arizona secondary that is number 21 so far this young year in EPA per play on defense via the pass. So I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to eat. I think Sam Laporta's going to eat. Got that 1-2 punch. Jahmyr Gibbs and Mandatory Montgomery, Dave Montgomery on the ground. I like Detroit minus 2.5, but that is going to be a fun, fireworks-filled game down in the desert.
The other game I think Saints fans will be watching, because they're 2-0 also in the NFC South, Tampa Bay Bucks, Buccaneers play the Denver Broncos. And Broncos' defense is pretty good, but, man, they got to get something started on the offensive side of football here. And I know you're going through the growing pains with Bo Nix. But, man, Tampa Bay, they find a way to win. It might not be the prettiest way to do it, but with Baker, they have found a way to win. Your thoughts? Because I think this game, I think maybe at one time was 7, and I think it's maybe went to 6. Now I think it's at 6.5. Your thoughts, Tampa, Denver?
Yeah, 6.5. It's a really interesting contest, to say the least. And the Broncos, I think, are playing better defensively than most of us expected. Middle of the pack right now, a lot of the EPA data that's out there. You know, pretty strong secondary overall. But offensively, they're just inept. You know, underachieving greatly. Yeah, Bo Nix is certainly a work in progress. A lot of RPO plays. He is a dual threat quarterback. But, you're not really is stretching the field at all. Cortland Sutton has been on a side of a milk carton in witness protection seemingly as well. You know, Javonte Williams underachieved in that backfield. Jaleel McLaughlin's made a couple splashy plays to really not move the meter. They're just not moving the ball effectively and efficiently down the field. Meanwhile, Tampa, man, they're just lighting up the opposition. Chris Godwin being reinserted in the slot has, you know, just injected new life into his career. He's been unstoppable the first couple of weeks. We know what Mike Evans can do, stretching field. My cousin, I got all the LinkedIn athleticism, I think, in the Evans family. Really getting it done. And, of course, you got Bookie Irving in that backfield to go Rashad White. So a formidable 1-2 punch. And Baker, the touchdown maker, has been just shredding defenses. I think it's the story of the offense. They should outscore Denver with ease. I do worry on the defensive side. Tampa has missed on a couple of key players that defensive backfield. And Vita Vea is highly questionable, listed as day-to-day. If he does not go, this might be the game that Denver finally can do something, anything on the ground.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it, and we'll have you back next Wednesday. Appreciate it, all your time and your efforts.
Muchas gracias, amigos. Good luck to you.
All righty. Thank you, Brad. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast. For more analysis, just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. When we come back, it'll be our triple option feature, myself along with Jeff Nowak and Cullen Steele, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Jeff Nowak and Cullen Steele. It's our triple option feature. Jeff, throw it to you first.
Yeah, so things change quickly in the NFL, don't they? You know, I remember talking with Steve prior to the start of this season and saying, like, what would have to happen for Saints fans to come around on Derek Carr and Dennis Allen? What would actually have to happen? Like, how could it happen? I was like, maybe if they go to the playoffs, win a couple games. Apparently, the scenario I did not envision was you drop 40 points in each of your first two games, embarrass the Cowboys on the road, and then, holy heck, where are we right now? If you were buying tickets a couple weeks ago, you could have gotten into the Superdome for, I don't know, a 20? You know, a $20 bill. You're in there somewhere. I don't know where, but you're in the building. This week, the Eagles are coming to town. Mike, just give me your guess. Give me your guesstimate on what the cheapest ticket, what the get-in price on SeatGeek right now is for that game, Eagles-Saints.
I would say $34.
The cheapest ticket is $131.
What?
You cannot get in that building unless you already have it, unless you bought it 2 weeks ago for less than a Benjamin.
Whoa.
And it's
no,
and
that's
it's,
surprising.
Part of it's because it's the Eagles, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a pretty large contingent of Eagles fans who
will.
Bought that ticket in the offseason thinking, well, this is going to be a walkover win and we get to go to New Orleans. What a great scenario for us. So I don't know. I think there will be a good number of Eagles fans in that building, but I do think in large part you're going to get a Superdome environment that we fondly remember and have not seen for a while. Let's put it that way. Like, we're going to get the type of environment in that building I don't think we've gotten since maybe the NFC Championship in 2018. Like, I don't think we've gotten back to that point.
No.
Because 2020, you obviously didn't have fans. And 2019 was kind of an up and down, you know, topsy turvy season. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm envious of anyone who bought those tickets a couple weeks ago.
Okay, the last time the Saints played the Eagles in the Superdome, we in the press box, and Bobby starts this
the playoff game.
E A G L E S. Okay, below us, nothing but Eagles fans. So I think they thought, you know, he was kind of part of the Eagles regime. So at first, man, they start chanting with him. But then after he did it the third time, man, they told him he was number one, but with a different digit on the finger. Man, and he kept doing it throughout the game.
So
and man,
the,
he was aggravating those Eagle fans the entire game.
Was this the playoff game or was this the regular season game?
Regular season game.
Yeah, because that was the game that they lost like 35-0 or something crazy like that. That was the Sean Payton lost a bet and they had to wear their road jerseys at home game. And it worked out.
Yeah, but Bob was in his glory doing that. Not as much as this weekend, but he was in his glory. Cullen?
All right, Jeff, I'm getting this from you. You're my source. So I'm going to credit you. You were tweeting earlier about the last 10 years, the league NFC player of the week, you know, special teams, defense, offense. Kamara was given the award this week. Congratulations to him. Clap, youpity-doo. But you gave us kind of a spiel on like the last 10 years of who has won, when, and where. And I've noticed since 2020, the Saints have had a player of the week. Granted, it's been, you know, offense, defense. In 2020, it was Will Lutz. In 2021, it was Marshawn Lattimore. 2022, it was Taysom Hill. 2023, it was Blake Groupe. We've had one the last 4 years. In week five. Oh, yeah. And who do we play in week five this year? The Chiefs. I'm not saying it's a trend, but 5 years in a row, if we do it, I don't know.
That is interesting.
Let's see if they can start winning games in October. Man, that was something Sean was great at. Dennis Allen's had a losing record in October and November. Sean, man, he was unbelievable in October and November. Just really would. 10-1 the last 3 years that he was coaching here. And I think he was 7-5. But I think that last year, I think they lost four straight that final season with Sean in November.
Well, here's the thing, and I want to get into this a lot more throughout the rest of the show, but one thing that I think fans should be prepared for is, like, you know, anytime you go up against a pitcher for the first time, you've never seen him, you know, he might have the best game of his life because you don't know what he's going to do. I do think that throughout the course of this season, people are going to start to get a playbook
on what's going on.
Get some idea of what Clint Kubiak likes to do, and it's going to become a little – he's going to have to do self-scouting here. And I think that's what made Sean Payton's teams great was they weren't just good halfway through the season. They weren't good in week three. They got better as the season went on and were peaking by the time week 16, week 17 got here. Like, you didn't lose games at the end of the season. That's what I need to see for this team. Like, if they can get better from what they're doing now, then you're talking about a Super Bowl team. But I think, like, you look at the Dolphins the last few years, and they always seem to start on fire and then kind of flag toward the end of the year.
Yeah, and if they got to play on the road in January, that's going down. Want to congratulate Joe Sherman for being inducted. Well, he's not inducted, but he was nominated today, and he's going into the 2025 class for Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. His dad, Rags, was inducted in 1990. Joe Sherman has more wins as a college baseball coach than any other coach in the state of Louisiana, with 1,179 wins. So congratulations, Joe, you're going to get that induction next summer in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. He's done an unbelievable job at Delgado as both athletic director and head baseball coach. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Jeff Nowak. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Man, I need encouragement. Bottle Man, you with me and Jeff, man. Encourage me. You're always on the magic carpet ride, so give it to me, brother.
All right, I'm going to give it to you. First of all, it's good to hear your voice. And I've been trying to get in, but I always mention to you again, gumbo. I told you about a lot. Taylor,
sure,
we shook hands. We tried the spirit by the spirit. This is our year, man. This is not a mirage. This is really what it is. And if you want to see who I am, I was the one beating the bottle yesterday for Mr. Frankie Beverly Owen going in New Orleans yesterday.
Man, Bottle Man, man, you traveling all over, man. You're going to be world famous, just not on our station, all over the country.
Hey, man, that's a wing in the prayer, Mr. Mike. You know, we country boys, you know.
I hear that.
We country boys. We learn how to say, yes, ma'am, thank you, and I appreciate it.
Bottle Man, you got to admit, though, how these two games have turned out, it's got to be surprising to you. Because, I mean, not that they would win, but how they won.
Hey, Mr. Mike, listen. This is a whole regime. I like what Alvin said. Alvin said we had Mr. Sean. We had Drew for about 100 years. It's time. We have a playing team. When you play together, you stay together. We're not going to be denied. We're about to make history, man. We're about to set it off, and this mother excuse my French.
I hear you, Bottle Man. Man, we listen. Man, you always make me laugh, and you always – all full of encouragements, and I appreciate your call so much, and God bless you, my friend. Jeff, I'll let you answer this one. What? Because we got it on the text line, 3953. What's the over and under on fights started by CD Deuce on Sunday?
Well, that's a tough one, because if you're talking fights, you're probably talking double digits. Now, if you're talking getting punched in the face, I'm going to set that at 1.5. He's almost certainly going to get punched in the face one time. I think that's, you know, that's the kind of free space in bingo. But does he do it twice? Because he did it to the Bears twice. Those coaches are like, guys, a lot of you didn't play with CJ, but go ask the people who did. You know, he's a different kind of cat.
Yeah, he likes to light the firecracker. Real quick. So, hey, keep everything under control, because he's going to get under your skin one way or another.
He's going to chain snatch your mouthpiece.
Yeah. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Jeff Nowak and Cullen Steele. It's our triple option feature. Jeff, throw it to you first.
Yeah, so things change quickly in the NFL, don't they? You know, I remember talking with Steve prior to the start of this season and saying, like, what would have to happen for Saints fans to come around on Derek Carr and Dennis Allen? What would actually have to happen? Like, how could it happen? I was like, maybe if they go to the playoffs, win a couple games. Apparently, the scenario I did not envision was you drop 40 points in each of your first two games, embarrass the Cowboys on the road, and then, holy heck, where are we right now? If you were buying tickets a couple weeks ago, you could have gotten into the Superdome for, I don't know, a 20? You know, a $20 bill, you're in there somewhere. I don't know where, but you're in the building. This week, the Eagles are coming to town. Mike, just give me your guess. Give me your guesstimate on what the cheapest ticket, what the get-in price on SeatGeek right now is for that game, Eagles-Saints.
I would say $34.
The cheapest ticket is $131.
What?
You cannot get in that building unless you already have it, unless you bought it 2 weeks ago for less than a Benjamin.
Whoa.
And it's
no,
and
that's
it's,
surprising.
Part of it's because it's the Eagles, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a pretty large contingent of Eagles fans who bought that ticket in the offseason thinking, well, this is going to be a walkover win and we get to go to New Orleans. What a great scenario for us. So I don't know. I think there will be a good number of Eagles fans in that building, but I do think in large part you're going to get a Superdome environment that we fondly remember and have not seen for a while. Let's put it that way. Like, we're going to get the type of environment in that building I don't think we've gotten since maybe the NFC Championship in 2018. Like, I don't think we've gotten back to that point.
No.
Because 2020, you obviously didn't have fans. And 2019 was kind of an up and down, you know, topsy turvy season. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm envious of anyone who bought those tickets a couple weeks ago.
Okay, the last time the Saints played the Eagles in the Superdome, we in a press box, and Bobby starts this
the playoff game.
E A G L E S. Okay, below us nothing but Eagles fans. So I think they thought, you know, he was kind of part of the Eagles regime. So at first, man, they start chanting with him, but then after he did it the third time, man, they told him he was number one, but with a different digit on the finger. Man, and he kept doing it throughout the game. So and, man, he was aggravating those Eagle fans the entire game.
Was this the playoff game or was this the regular season game?
Regular season game.
Yeah, yeah, because that was the game that they lost like 35-0 or something crazy like that. That was the Sean Payton lost a bet and they had to wear their road jerseys at home game. And it worked out.
Man, but Bob was in his glory doing that. Not as much as this weekend, but he was in his glory. Cullen?
All right, Jeff, I'm getting this from you. You're my source. I'm going to credit you. You were tweeting earlier about the last 10 years, the league NFC Player of the Week. You know, special teams, defense, offense. Kamara was given the award this week. Congratulations to him. Clap, you-pity-doo. But you gave us kind of a spiel on like the last 10 years of who has won, when, and where. And I've noticed since 2020, the Saints have had a Player of the Week. Granted, it's been, you know, offense, defense. In 2020, it was Will Lutz. In 2021, it was Marshawn Lattimore. 2022, it was Taysom Hill. 2023, it was Blake Groupie. We've had one the last 4 years in Week 5.
Oh, yeah.
And who do we play in Week 5 this year? The Chiefs. I'm not saying it's a trend, but 5 years in a row, if we do it, I don't know.
That is interesting.
Let's see if they can start winning games in October. Man, that was something Sean was great at. Dennis Allen's had a losing record in October and November. Sean, man, he was unbelievable in October and November. just really would. 10-1 the last 3 years that he was coaching here. And I think he was 7-5. But I think that last year, I think they lost four straight. That final season with Sean in November.
Well, here's the thing, and I want to get into this a lot more throughout the rest of the show, but one thing that I think fans should be prepared for is, like, you know, anytime you go up against the pitcher for the first time, you've never seen him, you know, he might have the best game of his life because you don't know what he's going to do. I do think that throughout the course of this season, people are going to start to get a playbook
on what's going on.
Get some idea of what Clint Kubiak likes to do, and it's going to become a little – he's going to have to do self-scouting here. And I think that's what made Sean Payton's teams great was they weren't just good halfway through the season. They weren't good in week three. They got better as the season went on and were peaking by the time the week 16, week 17 got here. Like, you didn't lose games at the end of the season. That's what I need to see for this team. Like, if they can get better from what they're doing now, then you're talking about a Super Bowl team. But I think, like, you look at the Dolphins the last few years, and they always seem to start on fire and then kind of flag toward the end of the year.
Yeah, and if they got to play on the road in January, that's going down. Want to congratulate Joe Sherman for being inducted. Well, he's not inducted, but he was nominated today, and he's going into the 2025 class for Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. His dad, Rags, was inducted in 1990. Joe Sherman has more wins as a college baseball coach than any other coach in the state of Louisiana, with 1,179 wins. So congratulations, Joe, you're going to get that induction next summer in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. He's done an unbelievable job at Delgado as both athletic director and head baseball coach. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Jeff Nowak. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Man, I need encouragement. Bottle Man, you with me and Jeff, man. Encourage me. You're always on the magic carpet ride, so give it to me, brother.
All right, I'm going to give it to you. First of all, it's good to hear your voice, and I've been trying to get in, but I always mention to you again, gumbo. I told you about a lot to Taylor.
Sure,
we shook hands. We saw the spirit by the spirit. This is our year, man. This is not a mirage. This is really what it is. And if you want to see who I am, I was the one beating the bottle yesterday for Mr. Frankie Beverly Owen going in New Orleans yesterday.
Man, Bottle Man, man, you traveling all over, man. You're going to be world famous, just not on our station, all over the country.
Hey, man, that's a ring in the prayer, Mr. Mike. You know, we country boys, you know.
I hear that.
We country boys. We learn how to say, yes, ma'am, thank you, and I appreciate it.
Bottle Man, you got to admit, though, how these two games have turned out. It's got to be surprising to you. Because, I mean, not that they would win, but how they won.
Hey, Mr. Mike, listen. This is a whole regime. I like what Alvin said. Alvin said we had Mr. Sean, we had Drew for about 100 years. It's time. We have a playing team. When you play together, you stay together. We're not going to be denied. We're about to make history, man. We're about to set it off, and this mother's killed my friends.
I hear you, Bottle Man. Man, we listen. Man, you always make me laugh, and you always – all full of encouragements, and I appreciate your call so much, and God bless you, my friend. Jeff, I'll let you answer this one. What? Because we got it on the text line, 3953. What's the over and under on fights started by CD Deuce on Sunday?
Well, that's a tough one, because if you're talking fights, you're probably talking double digits. Now, if you're talking getting punched in the face, I'm going to set that at 1.5. He's almost certainly going to get punched in the face one time. I think that's the kind of free space in bingo. But does he do it twice? Because he did it to the Bears twice. Those coaches are like, guys, a lot of you didn't play with CJ, but go ask the people who did. he's a different kind of cat.
Yeah, he likes to light the firecracker real quick. So hey, keep everything under control, because he's gonna get under your skin one way
he's
or another.
Chain snatch your mouthpiece.
Yeah, we'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Jeff Nowak. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Man, I need encouragement. Bottle Man, You with me and Jeff, man. Encourage me. You always, on the magic carpet ride, so give it to me, brother.
All right, I'm going to give it to you. First of all, it's good to hear your voice. And I've been trying to get in, but I always mention to you again, gumbo. I told you about a lot. We shook hands. We tried to spirit by the spirit. This is our year, man. This is not a mirage. This is really what it is. And if you want to see who I am, I was the one beating the bottle yesterday for Mr. Frankie Beverly Owen going in New Orleans yesterday.
Man, bottle man, you traveling all over, man. You're going to be world famous, just not on our station, all over the country.
Hey, man, that's a wing in the prayer, Mr. Mike. You know, we country boys, you know.
I hear that.
We country boys. We learn how to say, yes, ma'am, thank you, and I appreciate it.
Bottle man, you got to admit, though, how these two games have turned out, it's got to be surprising to you. Because, I mean, not that they would win, but how they won.
Hey, Mr. Mike, listen. This is a whole regime. I like what Alvin said. Alvin said we had Mr. Sean. We had Drew for about 100 years. It's time. We have a playing team. When you play together, you stay together. We're not going to be denied. We're about to make history, man. We're about to set it off, and this mother's killed my friends.
I hear you, Bottle Man. Man, we listen. Man, you always make me laugh, and you always all full of encouragements, and I appreciate your call so much, and God bless you, my friend. Jeff, I'll let you answer this one. Because we got it on the text line, 3953. What's the over and under on fights started by CD Deuce on Sunday?
Well, that's a tough one, because if you're talking fights, you're probably talking double digits. Now, if you're talking getting punched in the face, I'm going to set that at 1.5. He's almost certainly going to get punched in the face one time. I think that's the kind of free space in bingo. But does he do it twice? Because he did it to the Bears twice. Those coaches are like, guys, a lot of you didn't play with CJ, but go ask the people who did. You know, he's a different kind of cat.
Yeah, he likes to light the firecracker real quick. So keep everything under control, because he's going to get under your skin one way or another.
Chain snatch your mouthpiece.
Yeah. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.